Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to get into Craig Breslow's track record, Keith?
Yeah, I don't see why not. You can dig in there. It's a good Craig day to do it.
That's your guy.
That's my guy.
You're one guy defending Craig Breslow in the whole city.
I didn't realize that's where all this was heading.
I don't think Craig Breslow's as confident in himself as you are in him.
I turned into the Craig Breslow guy. That kind of happened overnight. But it's okay. I was the Dombrowski guy for a long time. It wasn't popular. But it'll
work out
for you sometimes.
Yeah, it'll look good in the long run. But they're stacking wins now.
Just stacking, winning series. That's all they're doing.
Couple of wins without Rafi Devers. I didn't check. Did the Giants win last night? I didn't check. They must have won with Rafi Devers, right?
No, Jones, they lost.
Oh, they lost again.
They're 0-2 with Rafael Devers.
And he didn't have any hits.
No.
Oh, interesting.
No. Okay.
Oh, that's good. So the Red Sox are in playoff position. They won 2 out of 3 without Devers. Yeah. I was told they'd never win again without Devers.
No.
But 2 out of 3 without him, and the
you
Giants
know who got
haven't
the save
won
last night?
Yet with him.
In that Guardians game?
Oh,
Emmanuel Classe. That's right. I got his jersey.
I was like, great.
He was
Weiser?
Wearing an Emmanuel Classe jersey.
Wrong game.
Shut him down. Devers 0-3.
Happy Juneteenth, by the way. I thought there was a real risk you weren't going to be here on this. This
there was a chance. Thankfully, my mom was able to drive down and watch both girls, who are both off today.
Yeah, right.
They are both recognizing the day, so they are off. No school today.
Lucas is off today.
How do you like this twist? Little CC Beans finishes school tomorrow.
Sick brag, bro.
Half day.
Oh, is it tomorrow or is it Monday?
No, half day tomorrow.
Boston Public has a half day tomorrow, half day Monday.
Oh, that's even crazier. Because so she had a full day yesterday. Last full day was yesterday. Then today is a holiday, so she's off today. And then she goes back tomorrow, and I think it leaves before lunch.
Doesn't make
like
a lot of
okay.
sense. Doesn't seem to make
finish
a lot.
Strong though.
Maybe end it where the holiday hit.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to time that out.
You would think.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we need those 2 extra hours to get them in here.
I don't know if any truancy officers are listening, but I don't think Lucas is going to be there on Monday.
Oh, he's not making it?
I don't.
Come
think
on.
So. Today, and I don't think this is, or know if this is in the true spirit of Juneteenth, but Lucas and Kat and some friends are all at the Oakley Country Club. They're celebrating at the pool today.
Oh, they are taking a little dip. Oh, it's hot as blazes out there.
And so, you know, I think out there celebrating the holiday. Thanks for tuning in today. Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. You can dial us up there. You can also interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on there. And watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We'll get into Breslow in a moment, but real quick, and this is part and parcel of the Breslow discussion and how good of a GM he is and what's his actual track record, and we'll discuss it with you guys on the phones. You go get Crochet for games like yesterday.
Yeah, you needed that.
You needed the series without Devers. If anybody in the clubhouse, and I think most of them are ready to move on without Rafi Devers, that's certainly what it sounds like publicly. I haven't heard anything off the record, you know, through back channels with all the backstabbing that Cora's doing to Craig Breslow. I haven't heard anything about, you know, the clubhouse missing off the record, the clubhouse really missing Devers or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think they miss him, but
I don't think they do at all.
There might be an element of, can we win games? How good are we going to be without Rafi Devers? This is another playoff team-ish that we're going against, like in the wild card mix in the Seattle Mariners, and we have our ace on the hill. And we got to win the series to carry momentum into the series against Devers starting tomorrow night on Friday in San Francisco. And so you needed a big start out of Crochet. I'm not sure he was like completely on his A game. Wild pitches and things like that. Probably more hit than normal. But he only allowed the one run. And he continues to be a dominant force. And that's a game I feel like they really needed yesterday in the post-Raffy Devers era.
Yeah, because they're going to need to figure out this offense. They scored 5 runs in the series. You're not going to win a lot of series scoring 5 runs.
No,
right?
On like 5 hits.
Yeah, well, they
and
had...
And like 5 hits.
They had 3 runs yesterday, 3 hits.
Yeah.
2 homers.
Our guy Meyer, though.
Our guy Connor Wong getting a sink. No RBI.
No, well, that's not happening.
But he did get a hit.
But Meyer leaving the yard. I mean, Meyer, it's going to be Meyer, Anthony, Duran, Story. Like, these are going to be the guys that are going to have to carry the offense until Bregman gets back.
Mm-hmm.
And is that going to be enough? And you're right. That's why you have Garrett Crochet. Garrett Crochet is going to have more games like this than not. And, you know, that game against the Yankees, I know he didn't get the win, but that was another one. They didn't score a lot of runs, but he was fantastic in it. Because Giolito and Buehler and Bayo and Dobbins, you know, 4/5 of your rotation, you can't count on for that. And like they've shown that they can do it here and there, right? Giolito's had a couple of really good games. He's also had a couple of really bad games. And, you know, you're not going to go into those ones and say, oh, you're going to beat the Giants. You know, you're going to take 2 out of 3 against the Giants by scoring 4 runs, 5 runs. Probably not, because Garrett Crochet's not pitching in that series. You know, you used him in this one. So they're going to have to figure out a way to score more runs. But, no, he lived up to the hype. Also, you got to give Cora credit yesterday, too, for the way he did use the
Chapman.
Bullpen. Yeah, smart.
It's a good move.
It was smart, because usually closers are sort of dead set, and they're like, let me pitch the 9th, let me get my save, and let me get out of there. And you're like, well, the 8th inning, big dumper's coming up. We probably should use Chapman against Big Dumper, which he did. So he gets out of the 8th. Also credit to Chapman, right? Some closers would get real pissy about that.
Some closers would pitch a real fit, yeah.
Yeah, they would. I think even the Red Sox have probably had ones like that. You think Kelly Jansen wanted to do that?
Nope.
No chance. He's trying to, you know, climb up the save leaderboard. He's not necessarily trying to win games for your team. So Chapman does that. Weissert goes out there, and he's been pitching really well. So yeah, that was a good, another low-scoring one, but another good team win for the Red Sox.
Well, and look, the pitching needs to be better than it was for months. It has been for the last couple of weeks, you know, Walker, Buehler aside.
Oh, boy.
And so Crochet crushed it yesterday. You're going to need that.
Yeah.
You're going to need, well, A, Bregman back whenever he comes back, to a lesser degree of Bregman.
I mean, you desperately need Bregman
getting
back.
Getting some bats back is going to be important, and you need the kids to hit. And I'm not telling you Meyer crushed it yesterday.
He crushed one.
But I'm saying, like, it's not like he lit it up. He had a home run. He was 1 for 3. He's hitting .220.
Drew a good walk.
Roman Anthony is hitting .074 now. That's .074, not .740.
Drew another good walk.
He drew a good walk.
Good eye at the plate by those fellas.
Christian Campbell got taken out of the game after he struck out for the second time and smashed his helmet yesterday.
Yeah.
He's down to .223. So
at what point?
Those kids need to hit.
At what point can we say Campbell's not very good? How long does it take? Now, I'm not there yet. It's not fair. It's not fair.
That he's not very good, yeah. Or he needs to go down to Worcester. Those, to me, are two different things.
Yeah, like he might just not be the best.
Okay.
Like he might not be.
I personally need more time for that, but yeah. The second he signed his extension, I know you were questioning that.
Because to be fair, all these prospect rankings get tossed out there, and I look at them, and you're like, all right, top 100 prospects in baseball. I even trust the Sox prospect guys just to go through the Red Sox system and rank their guys 1 through 20, 1 through 60, actually, I think, on their website. That's all great, but like, how many of those guys have we seen, right? Not many, if any.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see them play, and now you're like, okay, I sort of see what they were describing. I sort of see what they were doing. And then you're like, I could see this guy. I could see him eventually being really good. Like, Roman Anthony's hitting .074. But, I don't know, you look at some of his swings, and you're like, that guy's going to be pretty good, I think.
You love him in the field.
No, maybe not. Marcelo Meyer, same thing. Like, Marcelo Meyer,
no,
I like him. He's smooth in the field.
No.
His swing is pretty sick. And then you're like, you see Christian
Campbell,
and
you're kind of like, what was the hype all about?
Yeah,
I get that.
Okay.
Okay, so that's fair.
I'm not running away from him yet. My question more is, like, do you have a bad season? And you're like, all right, get him next year, bud. Or is it like, I don't know. Because we also don't even know what position he plays. Like, what's his best thing?
It's supposed to be the stick.
Got it.
So, the average, I think. I don't really even think he's a power
223.
Guy.
He's hitting 223 right now.
That's higher than Meyer and Anthony.
That's true. But Meyer's got more pop.
No, Meyer might be there. Close.
Meyer's, I think,
way less. 220.
I believe I just said 220. Yeah,
Meyer's 220. Yeah. Campbell's 223.
Yeah.
Anthony, 074.
I like to call it 74.
If only the 74. Count.
Anthony's hitting 74. I mean, look, love the family. Happy he's here. I'm a little suspect about that 74.
Yeah.
That's going to need to start rising.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the state of the Red Sox. We'll get into Craig Breslow and the Red Sox putting out a statement explaining their interview practices.
Oh, yeah, they didn't care for that.
That's pretty good. We'll also get into another near trade the Red Sox made that John Henry got in the way of. The Lakers sale. We'll also talk to Rob Bradford at 11:30. We'll go on the clock at high noon, what the Red Sox do now without Rafael Devers, and a Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Jam-packed, as always, here on Jones and Keith. But I've been defending the Breslow track record.
You have.
Like, I don't think he's Chaim Bloom. People talk about...
Greater than Chaim Bloom. Good start.
No, good start. But people think he's the same, and I don't. I think
he sounds the same. They both went to Yale. He doesn't leave you with a lot of confidence when you hear him.
Yeah, what do you call him again? Something with a curveball?
No, Chaim Bloom with a curveball.
Chaim Bloom with a curveball.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that. I think he's already shown more of a propensity to trade top prospects and part with them, and I think he's already made better moves. Now, if you want to tell me he's not Dombrowski or not even a great GM, fine, but I don't think it's the Chaim Bloom experience all over again.
These guys are tough to grade overall just because you know that John Henry is going to tell him what to do when it comes to the big money guys, as far as both signing them and trading them or whatever else.
I think his two worst deals that we're going to see, if you even think Devers is a bad deal, I don't love the return, but I don't think it's a terrible deal by itself because you needed to get Devers off the team. I think you'll see the two worst deals, John Henry played a big role in them. Never mind the deals that he wasn't allowed to do because John Henry got in the way. But let's start with this. A little timeline for Craig Breslow.
I like that. I like a timeline.
And we'll just go, was it a good move or a bad move? Binary, Keith. No in between.
Are we going to keep track of these?
I'll track them.
Okay, you'll track them.
Okay. Craig Breslow, hired as chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox October 24th of 2023.
Bad move.
So the timeline starts there. That one doesn't count.
Okay.
How about trading away Alex Verdugo and getting Greg Weissert, save yesterday, and Richard Fitz in a deal?
Good move.
I think that's a good
Verdugo's a bum, and Weissert's been actually pretty good. I don't know about Fitz, but I think Weissert's been solid.
I would say that was a good move.
And you don't want Verdugo, so that's a good move.
The next day, acquired Justin Slayton.
Good.
Okay. How about his Tyler O'Neill trade?
Good.
Okay.
Tyler O'Neill, I mean, was good for what he did. He came in here, socked a bunch of dingers, didn't he?
I think we're going to get
a lot of baseball isn't boring interviews.
I think we're going to get our first bad one.
Okay.
Chris Sale for Vaughn Grissom.
So bad. I'm with you on, I think it's revisionist history to be like, oh, Chris Sale was awesome and he would have won the Cy Young here. It's like, no, he was broken down. It wasn't going to work here. However, you were told to trade Sale. You needed to get back a player that could play at the major league level at some point.
Yeah.
And you did not. So therefore, bad trade.
Right. A guy who can't even make it on the ball club.
They're playing David Hamilton like every night, and Vaughn Grissom's just chilling in the minors.
Yeah, so Henry twisted his arm on trading him, and I'm happy they traded Chris Sale. You got to do better than Vaughn Grissom.
If we're going just good, bad, we're not doing any nuance to any of these, then that's a bad deal.
Bad deal.
Yep.
How about January 3rd, 2024? He signed Lucas Giolito, 1 year plus an option.
Probably bad.
I don't like that one either.
Probably
bad. I know he's pitched better.
He pitched a gem, but he also missed a season.
Yeah, I'd call that a bad move.
Okay.
January 31st, claim Romy Gonzalez.
Oh, man.
That's a nice little move. What do you mean, oh, man? You're just talking about crushing lefties.
Does smoke lefties, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's a good little move.
Good luck being a lefty against Romy Gonzalez. All right, good move.
All right.
Fine.
Sign Liam Hendricks, 2-year deal.
Bad
February
move.
20th.
Bad move.
Terrible move.
Yep.
How about he extended Seydon Rafaela April 10th for 8 years?
Bad move.
Didn't need to do it. I don't like it either.
You didn't need to extend him. We talked to Bradford, who we'll talk to today at 11:30, but we talked to him, I think, a couple weeks ago about some of these moves, the guys they did sign extensions to, the guys they didn't, and that's one where you say, what was the rush? Why did you need to sign Rafaela? He's fine, but he didn't need an 8-year extension.
All right, here's a flurry of deadline activity last year.
You can lump these in one, but let's take them one by one.
Acquired James Paxton.
Bad move.
Bad move. Acquired Danny Jansen.
Bad move.
I would agree. Bad move. This is a two-parter, okay?
Yeah.
Acquired Quinn Priester for Nick York.
So, actually a good move.
Thank you. That one is a good move.
See, I'm nothing but fair.
And that one is a good move.
It is.
We're going to get to the other half of it. No, that cancels it out. He acquired Luis Garcia.
Real bad move.
He acquired Lucas Sims.
Blows. These guys were just disasters. They were so bad.
Okay, those were his in-season moves.
By the way, that's 0 for the deadline.
0 for Quinn Priester, but he went away and subtracted that.
No, but what happened was you brought in 4 major leaguers, 1 minor leaguer, and the only one who was any good was the minor leaguer who didn't help your team after the deadline.
Look, the deadline. I can't blame any of the deadline on John Henry. That's all him.
That's bad.
That's pretty bad. It's a rough deadline.
Okay.
You know, it's his first deadline.
Yep.
They signed Justin Wilson on November 14th.
Okay, fine. Good.
It's not a bad move.
No, it's not bad. Right. Okay. That's what I'm saying. It's binary, good or bad. That's good.
This one, if you want to accuse me of reaching, go for it. They DFA'd two veterans off the 40-man roster. They protected Hunter Dobbins and Josh Nixon Garcia, who's now one of their top prospects.
By the password?
Putting him on the 40-man roster.
The password?
It's a good move.
All right, fine. That is slimy, but fine.
He's hitting like 500 at AAA.
I know, but like, okay, fine. Good move.
He protected Hunter Dobbins from the Rule 5 draft.
His father. He stepped in and said,
hey, Hunter, the Red Sox didn't protect you in the Rule 5 draft. They signed Aroldis Chapman December 10th.
Great move.
We hated it.
We hated it at
great
the time.
Move. Great move. Acquired Garrett Crochet.
Oh, great move.
On the same day, acquired Carlos Narvaez. Separate deal.
An incredible move.
The best move of the bunch.
Maybe the best of the moves.
Okay, I don't like these next two. Signed Patrick Sandoval.
Who?
He's another
I know
one.
Who he is.
He's
but
another
like,
one of these injured hurt. Pitchers yeah, that's yeah. going to sit. Yeah. He signed Walker Buehler.
Bad.
Some call him. Some call him, and they're trying to make it happen, Walker P. Euler.
Nobody else has called him that, though.
January 28th, 2025, signed Abraham Toro.
Great move. The bull?
Well, it sounded like there was some sarcasm.
No.
He's cooled, but that is a pretty good move.
No, it was. It was. He's been way better than expected. In fact, he made first base like somewhat productive.
We can debate how much credit he personally deserves for this, but they signed Alex Bregman to a 3-year deal.
Yeah, that's good.
They signed Garrett Crochet to an extension.
That's a good move, too.
They signed Christian Campbell to an extension on April 2nd. I'm going to call I'm calling that one a good move right now.
Okay.
Because I still believe in Campbell longer term.
I guess you're right.
But that one's, if there is anyone with a gray area, this and the Devers trade are it. We don't know the results.
You do know my theory, though.
I do.
Young guns.
You question it right away.
Signing deals early. I'm the only one who feels this way. Nobody else. Bradford was like, yeah, I get your point, but no. Nobody else really subscribes to this. But I think if you look back at the history of baseball, guys that sign early, and I'm not talking about with like a year left on their deal, like Betts with the Dodgers or something like that, like established guys, they get $300 million. But guys that sign early, like early, like I don't think Marcelo Meyer's doing that. I don't think Roman Anthony's doing that. I think they know if they wait a few more years, there's going to be a much bigger payday. So anyway, I have my antenna up on that. But so if you want to say good move, because it is at least one of the fears is we just saw this team move on from Betts, now literally move on from Devers, like 2 years into his huge deal. Bogart's going to finish his career somewhere else. One of the jokes is, all right, you have these good minor leaguers or you have these good prospects. Are they going to stay? So you did lock them up. So ultimately, that's fine.
Okay, we give him a thumbs up for acquiring Quinn Priester. How about on April 7th, he traded him away for something called Yoferi Rodriguez?
Yeah, that's bad. And okay. Priester's actually pitched pretty well with the Brewers.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's a bad. If Priester was just a nobody, they'd be nothing moves.
No, Priester's probably, I mean, we could look at the numbers. He's probably been better than Walker Buehler.
I'm not going to tally these, but just for the timeline, they promoted Meyer on May 24th. They promoted Roman Anthony on 6-9.
Because you could really argue both sides to that. You could say, well, it took you so long, so it could be bad moves, but yeah.
By the way, good suggestion for a daily question of the day. We can get to this in the grab bag later on. Guys, I think it's time. Yes, no question of the day. Is Roman Anthony hitting above the Mendoza line?
I mean, we might be here a while.
Mendoza line?
The Mendoza line? Dude, he can't even see the Mendoza
line. Is
Christian
Campbell still in the major leagues?
These
are good ones.
That's a mean one, Nick.
And then the last one, traded Rafael Devers. I don't even know if we know how to grade that one yet.
So I guess
how would you grade it?
I'll say bad in the vein of Chris Sale. It was bad.
Let's do it.
You and I are two of the few that are like, all right, see you later.
B minus.
See you later, Devers. But the return's bad. The return right now is two minor leaguers who we may never see, a prospect who's, I mean, I guess not even really a prospect anymore in Harrison, and then Jordan Hicks, who is terrible. And the Giants were like, maybe he's a starter, maybe he's a reliever. I know Breslow said he's a high-end reliever. I don't even think he really helps your relievers right now. We said yesterday, even like a good Jordan Hicks is like your fifth guy in the pen. It's not like you upgraded a guy that's better than, you know, Weiser. Certainly not better than Chapman. Like, I don't even know how he fits in. So I would say bad move.
Okay. Tally them all up. 14 out of 26. Thumbs up on the moves.
Really? So just barely over half.
Just slightly above 500.
Huh.
Now,
like the team.
Here's a good one that I didn't recall. They didn't offer a qualifying offer to Pivetta, who's been really good.
Oh, yeah?
Although we saw Pivetta here. Something tells me he wouldn't have done that here, but that's at least a fair one to maybe put on the list. Twitch chat is also saying we didn't mention Bregman. We did.
Yeah, we did.
Bregman was absolutely on there.
Yeah, we were going in order.
So 14 out of 26. The idea that the guys made a bunch of bumbling moves, I don't really agree with, and I think you look at it, the deadline last year was really bad. and the Sale return was really bad.
Yeah.
I think all the moves he made this offseason, just about, and we'll see how the Devers one progresses.
Yeah,
I think they've all been pretty good. He's been on a little bit of a heater is what I would acknowledge.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, obviously, not all these are the same, too, right? So if you're like, all right, 14 up, 12 down,
right.
But
a couple of the minor wins are Romy Gonzalez and things like this.
Yeah. But also, like, acquiring Crochet and then not dealing with the contract all year and into the offseason, like, having him locked up. And you see him again pitch yesterday, and you're like, oh, God, you got this guy?
Here's also what I would say, and we got to track this, but Dombrowski was great at this. And Bloom just never traded any prospects, so it's hard to say.
No.
But Dombrowski was really good at, I'm going to get Chris Sale, and the prospects aren't going to come back to bite me.
Come back to bite the Red Sox, to be honest, because we were going through all these trades a while ago, and Hanley Ramirez, this is going back years, was a great, 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 great player, but you got Beckett and Lowell, and you won a World Series. So it almost didn't matter. But, like, Yoan Moncada, Manuel Margot, Michael Kopech, like, none of these guys, you're like, oh,
who was the young pitcher they gave up? Anderson Espinosa. People were like, bull crap about it.
Yeah.
People were so mad at Dombrowski for that.
Maybe Anthony Rizzo, the Gonzo trade years ago.
So this is going to matter. If Kyle Teal's a player and Christian Campbell can't hit, well, then maybe they traded the wrong guy to acquire Garrett Crochet, right? So let's follow that. But so far, it seems like he protected the guys we wanted here, and we'll continue to track that. But that's the full resume for Craig Breslow. Let us know if you think we missed anything else. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. Yes.
Where I think it's going to be really critical for him, and because this was the thing I criticized Chaim Bloom for the most, was the bad trade deadlines. And so you have
a
month
year,
and a half.
He was 0-1. Big time 0-1.
And it feels like, regardless of whatever their record is, they're going to be the same spot, give or take. They're currently tied for the third wildcard spot. So they're like, what a mess of a season it's been. They're in playoff contention. So in the next month and a half, between the Devers trade and the trade deadline, do you either do nothing? Do you add James Paxton, Danny Jansen equivalents? Or do you actually help the team? And then if they make the playoffs, that'd be a huge, huge check mark for Breslow.
Well, and hopefully, Craig, I know he's on the West Coast.
Yeah.
But on the Odyssey app, maybe.
Oh, he's listening.
Hopefully he's listening when we go on the clock at high noon and we give you a plan for what the Red Sox should do now that Rafael Devers has been traded away. We'll give you a 60-second plan on how the Red Sox should upgrade. But, yeah, no, the deadline's going to be a big thing for Craig Breslow. All I'm telling you is you go through the full track record, the full body of work, he's not as bad as people are making him out to be. He's not Dombrowski, he's not Theo, but he's also not Chaim Bloom, and I don't think he's a total bumbling buffoon with the baseball transactions. He's a bit of a bumbling buffoon when it comes to their interviews,
their hiring, and
interacting with the media. Let's get to that. He tried to explain away the Red Sox and their hiring practices. That's right after Trending with Billy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, so I've been defending Craig Breslow and his baseball transactions. I don't think he's anywhere as near as bad as people make it out to be. I see the Twitch chat. Oh, the Devers trade is why Breslow's a bumbling moron. That's ownership. I can't believe people still don't get that. There's now multiple reports the Red Sox could have had more if the Giants or if the Red Sox would have eaten some of Devers' salary. There's multiple reports about that. Breslow had a better deal in place. He was asking for better players.
Yeah.
And John Henry said, don't care, eat the full salary. So the reason that you don't like the Devers return, and I do like Harrison. I don't really care for anything else in the deal. But the reason you don't like the Devers return is because the owner stepped in the way and said, no, I care more about the money going out than the players were getting back. And I'll give you another example of this coming up on a near trade that John Henry put the kibosh on, that the Red Sox basically had worked out, and he said, no, I want all the money gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people are just misplacing their anger when it comes to the Red Sox. They alienated players long before Breslow got here. They've traded away superstars before Breslow ever got here for pennies on the dollar.
That's
an ownership thing to me. These AI interviews, though, I can't defend those from Craig Breslow. I can't. I know he tried
to,
but
yeah, they try to push back on it. They're like, no, we don't do that, but we kind of do, but not really. You know, so it's one of those where sort of the June Lee report comes out the other day. We're talking about it. We're joking about it. And you're like, oh, that sounds pretty bad. Like, obviously, they're very committed to stats and analytics and, like, all this stuff. We talk about how robotic Breslow is. And then you're like, well, kind of next level. They also do all their interviews this way. And so they basically are like, yeah, we do, but we not like that. So I don't know, like, if June Lee was exaggerating or maybe he had heard a little bit more, like, five rounds of AI bot, which also leads to, all right, you got to just walk away at some point.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of personal pride and say, all right, I'm not doing a fifth robot interview.
This is a new record. Somebody's going for a fifth round with the AI interview.
With Johnny
believe
Five from Short Circuit. We're going to talk to him again.
Can you believe this, bozo?
Yeah, no.
And so, okay, so Breslow attempted to defend and explain their interview practices. This is Rob Bradford, two-minute burn yesterday. Good get by Bradfo on the ground in Seattle. We're going to talk to him at 11:30. We'll get
two-minute grill.
What did I say?
I think you said two-minute burn.
Two-minute grill, I'm sorry.
Two-minute burn? What is that?
I steal that from another show.
That'd be me and the sun today. Step outside here.
It's like Jones when he goes outside today.
I fry.
No.
I'm sorry. Two-minute grill.
That's right.
Rob, apologies. And we'll talk to Bradfo an hour from now, as we do every Thursday. He had Breslow explaining the whole process.
Yeah. I mean, my understanding is there's like an initial screening, but then that's used as a first filter, and then there's like human interactions and conversations, in-person Zooms. So I've had a number of conversations with this, like I said, in person and over Zooms with people that we've hired.
Okay. There's like human interaction. I don't like that. In person
Why
Zooms.
Do you want to work at WEEI?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Like, so it's like, he's like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Then you talk to people like me. I'm a person. Yeah. You're like,
barely.
I guess.
Okay. So like human interaction.
So there's
some of it.
I don't know about this.
Okay. He gave a little bit more. He was asked directly about the five rounds of interviews by Bradfo, again, in the two-minute grill.
Two-minute grill.
Here's what Breslow had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's my short answer is I'm not sure, because I know that I have had direct conversations with people. But like I said, if using this as kind of like a first filter, because the number of people who want to work in baseball is so big, I think it makes sense. Now, I don't think we can make hiring decisions without actually talking to people.
Okay. I've talked to people because that's what I am.
I've spoken
I am
to
a person.
Other human beings. I have emotions and feelings and eat real human food.
It's funny. It's one of these things where it's like you're denying this report because everyone's like making fun of you for it. But then in your denial, you're like, well, maybe. Maybe we do this.
He didn't say it wasn't five rounds, and he didn't say they don't do it.
I don't really know.
Not a great denial.
Terrible.
I think the Red Sox did a touch better in their statement that they put out last night after the game.
Yeah, it was lengthy.
It was
Which
lengthy.
Led me to wonder, did a robot write that? Was that AI created?
Were they like, hey.
They're like, you know what? In your face. We're just going to have the robots write this anyway.
ChatGPT.
Yeah.
If you could hammer this out. Hey, WEE AI, write this for us. The Red Sox had a bunch of beat writers on this. I was not CC'd on this email.
I get some
transactional moves. I was not CC'd on this.
Yeah, that's a shame.
We wanted to reach out to you, probably because Breslow did such a poor job explaining it. We wanted to reach out to you because we are seeing unsubstantiated reports about the Red Sox using AI bots to hire candidates. I don't think June Lee said they were hiring candidates.
No.
Based on AI bots. They just said they were conducting interviews.
Right.
And feel it's important to address the facts with this group. Red Sox love their facts.
Yeah, they do.
Since 2012, so file that number away for a minute.
So that's way before Breslow.
The club has used a tool called HireVue to screen applicants for all roles across the organization. The Red Sox are one of several MLB clubs to use this tool, which asks candidates to answer a few questions in a recorded video for the hiring manager to get a sense of the person beyond their resume. One video, they say.
One video since 2012.
This is one of several
steps. This is the first we're hearing of this.
Yeah. It's one of several steps in the hiring process.
Sure is.
And it's just one factor that helps determine which candidates should advance to an in-person interview Again, they're saying one video. This was five rounds to advance to an in-person interview. On average, the club receives over 500 applicants for some of the roles, as many as 3,000, blah, 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 blah. Brag. The tool is in no way a replacement for in-person interviews, simply one of many steps that helps the club screen the many candidates who apply for each job posting. We wanted to ensure that you all had this information directly from us and would appreciate your partnership in helping clear up those unsupported claims. Well, it's good the Red Sox want it. We want to hear everything right from the Red Sox, which is why they should probably start making John Henry
but
available
also,
any day
yeah, right.
soon.
Yeah, they do that.
We want to hear right from the Red Sox. We clear everything up, yeah. So John Henry should probably follow through and do the same thing. But you think that was an AI bot writing?
Well, maybe. But also, it's such a weird denial because it's not really a denial. It's sort of like, you know, you didn't come out and be like, everything that was reported is wrong. That's not five. We don't use AI bots or whatever. It's like, no, we do, and we have for a while, and other teams do it too.
We're not the only one.
Other teams do it. Make fun of them.
It's like,
make fun of them
too. Like the Deflategate defense. Aaron Rodgers overinflates his football.
It's a weird thing. Like they got pretty sensitive to it. They're like, "Can you guys clear this up?" It's like, clear what up? Like you do use the AI things. You say you have all these applicants, so you use them to filter them down. June Lee, the reporter, never said. And now my boss is a robot, right? Like, oh, I got hired by robots, and I only work with robots. Nobody said that. I mean, it probably feels like that if you're working for Breslow.
It does. I like this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird denial.
I like this text. Do you think when Craig GPT clicks those boxes, are you a robot, he gets denied? He might. Like, when you have to do that online.
I can't do the captcha. Yeah.
Click the thing.
Like, slide the puzzle piece in. He's like, oh, no.
Which one's the bicycle?
Error.
With the crosswalks. Click all the squares with a crosswalk. Like, is that a crosswalk? What is this?
Does not compute.
I'm having a hard time with this.
No, I think the Red Sox acknowledging that they've been doing stuff like this since 2012 tells me it's not a Breslow problem. This is organizational. This is a John Henry. This is a Sam Kennedy. This is a Tom Werner issue. If it's been going back to 2012, where they're using some variation of this program, maybe it's ratcheted up under Breslow.
Is this how they hired Bobby Valentine?
Okay, but it's like this goes back to, again, go ahead and fire Breslow. A bunch of people want Breslow fired, and they think he's a moron. They're just going to hire the next Craig Breslow, keep doing what they're doing.
We just saw this. We had a lot of the same complaints about Chaim Bloom.
But this guy's way better than Chaim Bloom.
I agree. But I'm just saying, they replaced Chaim Bloom with Breslow, who there are a lot of similarities. At least in the, you know, the interview sounds very similar. The way he describes certain things about baseball, because you have to stop yourself. You're like, we're talking about baseball, right? Like the synthesizing of data and all this stuff that he says. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, can we just get the best players, please? Can we do that? And so that was... The upgrade would be, and we don't know, like, was Bloom told he couldn't trade his prospects, or was Bloom told, like, you can in the right move, and he was afraid to, which is a possibility?
I mean,
because Breslow comes in his first real offseason, I guess second offseason, and he trades Kyle Teal away, and he gets Garrett Crochet. Like, that was massive. I don't think Bloom ever would have done that.
He traded away two top five organizational prospects in the same move. Two top 100 guys in the same trade.
Yeah,
Bloom wouldn't have done that.
No.
To me, that tells me Breslow and Bloom are different, but you're right. Maybe they loosened the reins on Breslow and they had him tighter on Bloom. Jacob just sent this to us. You see, you were CC'd on this, Keith.
I was.
He did an AI detect for the Red Sox statement.
Oh, what do we got?
He says, it's good to see 0% AI in the Red Sox statement. I'm not on the other side of this. I don't know how to use an AI detector.
He says 99% human wrote that.
That's what jumped out to me too. 99% human.
Not even officially human.
Not zero. Not 0%. If it's 99% human, what's the other 1%? That's not 0%, Jacob.
All right.
But interesting.
No, okay. But not bad.
Looks like they passed the AI test though.
Phew. They fooled them again.
Questionable.
All right.
The bots are getting good if they're fooling AI detection. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback coming up. I mentioned John Henry, prior to Rafael Devers, got in the way of another trade that Breslow had worked out. Because Breslow, if you listen to the Giants owner, is it Greg Johnson? If you listen to the Giants owner, the Giants felt like Breslow was asking for too much, and he reached out directly to John Henry and was like, hey, your guy's asking for too much. Why don't you scale this back if you want to get it done? So Henry got in the way of this one. He got in the way of a second one. Prior to this, way back in spring training, we'll explain what it was and get into how big of an issue ownership is for the Reds.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sox, that's next.
You heard that deal at the end from Jared Carrabas, and I want to get this right. He was on the Marine Layer podcast.
Nice.
Nice.
Marine Layer?
Layer.
Wow.
I don't know what else they talk about.
Well,
apparently a lot of Mariners baseball.
Oh, okay.
He was on the Marine Layer podcast.
Got it.
All right.
Nice.
Sweet. And Carrabas says, well, two things. Number one, that Luis Castillo was going to lose money going from the state of Washington to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. He's going to lose money in taxes, so he wanted to be made whole for that. Let's circle back to that part. The deal was Cassis, Yoshida, I don't know if there were other parts coming and going, and the Red Sox would get Luis Castillo. First of all, good trade, right?
Yeah, I would do that.
I would have done that in real time in spring training. We were talking about trading away Cassis and dumping Yoshida's money for a pitcher from Seattle.
They didn't even really want Cassis, and they didn't want to pay for Yoshida. Or did I mishear that? Because if they didn't want, I wonder what other kind of deal they could have worked out. He said they did want Cassis.
They didn't. Did I mishear it?
Definitely said they didn't want Yoshida's money.
Okay, but Castillo wanted to be made whole on that trade.
So, no, that part I get. So yeah. I don't know what Seattle really wanted in return as far as like if they would pay the full freight for Yoshida or if they would even want Cassis. But just the Red Sox part of it, I heard that clearly, that Castillo wanted just to get the money that he deserved. So first of all, is that like a MLB PA issue? Like, can you just rip up the contract like that? Like, I don't even know what the rules are.
So I misheard it. So he said not interested in Cassis or Yoshida.
And then obviously Seattle not being interested in Cassis and not wanting to take on Yoshida's money.
So then I misheard it. So
the Mariners didn't want to do it at all.
Mariners are like, we're good. And then Castillo's like, do I get more money? And they're like, no.
So never mind. So scratch that. So I thought they had a deal worked out for Castillo. I completely misheard the clip.
So... But clearly it got to the point where
they were negotiating money.
Yes.
And Henry said, we're not doing that. So they didn't put the kibosh on the trade. So scrap that. But Henry got in the way of acquiring another player because he's like, yeah, we're not going to give you money in return. Now, good question. Where does the PA get involved in that? Will the PA even allow for that?
Because Castillo is making $24 million this year, $24 next year, $24 and $27, and then there's a vesting option in $28, where he'd be $35 that year. I don't know. Like, how does that work? Can you just like tack on another year, or can you give him a raise?
Well,
you don't really hear that happening very
often. Or is there a way to? Here's where I bet you could do it. You could guarantee a bonus or some sort of incentive in his contract and do it that way. So there probably are ways to get that done,
right,
where you're not forgiving taxes and things like that, but you're finding another way to create money.
They should have. And then this is one where if Breslow worked this deal out and Henry vetoed it, that's too bad because Castillo should be in your rotation in that case.
And so leave the Cassis and Yoshida part to the side because I misheard that. But that's Henry getting in the way on finances yet again. Yep. And again, Greg Johnson, the owner of the Giants, said he had to talk to Henry because, and this is at the Devers introductory press conference, he had to talk to Henry because the Red Sox were asking too much and the Giants weren't going to do that. And he was subsequently asked, would the full deal go down if the Giants didn't eat the whole deal? And he said, no, we had to eat that whole contract.
Right. Now, but the Red Sox are saying something different.
Well, right.
Oh,
well,
that was not a mandate at all.
Let's play this game. Maybe Greg Johnson's lying. Maybe he's a billionaire and he wants to give himself a pat on the back. And he's like, I took on the whole contract. I'm the one who got the trade done. So maybe the owner on the other side just wants credit. These owners want credit for everything. As we've come to learn with Robert Kraft, chief among them, they want credit for every little thing. Whit Grosbeck didn't even own the team. He wanted to act like he owned the whole thing.
So these owners want credit for everything. Maybe he's doing that. But this is an example of John Henry and the finances getting in the way of the Red Sox making deals that I think can help the team.
And honestly, if it's just throwing another $1 million or whatever it is at Luis Castillo just to make that right, like if that's so important to him, so be it. It's money. I get it's important to everybody. So if he's like, hey, can you just do this to sort of offset everything so I at least know my take home is the same, then do it.
Yeah.
Like if he was just an out-and-out free agent, you wouldn't give him that kind of money. So like Lucas Giolito's making like $19 million this year. So you wouldn't give Luis Castillo 25?
Exactly.
Like, please.
So I'm still interested in Luis Castillo.
Me too.
And I'm still interested in all those Mariners pitchers. I just feel like he's the most available one. I like, and they're not all having great years, and some of them have been hurt. But, you know, Kirby, Gilbert.
The other guy that just pitched was pretty good.
Miller just came back, I think, from the
Brian Wu.
The IL.
Oh, Brian Wu just dominated.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, it feels like Castillo's the one they want to move, and the Red Sox need pitching, so that's the one I'd be interested in. But good luck getting the owner to sign off if the player wants a little something guaranteed or being made whole on the contract on the other side. Now, I would also tell Luis Castillo, like, all right, dude, you're getting traded somewhere else. You don't need to worry too much about getting nickeled and dimed on taxes. Maybe come here, pitch well, and you'll be made whole on your next contract. But that's the owner stepping in the way yet again. So I think the issues on these GMs, and I would say this for Chaim Bloom as well, I think the issue on these GMs is more than just in a vacuum the return that they got. If you don't like the return for Rafael Devers, neither do I. And again, I'm higher on Harrison than most, and even I don't like the full return. But that's because the owner made sure they wanted to dump the whole contract. Now, I don't think the trade was a pure salary dump. That's the only reason they did it. If Devers never acted up or if the team wasn't underachieving, they would have never made this trade. But once they decided to move on from Devers, you better believe they wanted to dump the whole contract. And they didn't really care what they got in return. They wanted to rid themselves of every nickel and dime in that contract. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here with all your thoughts. We will get to a variety of topics. The NFL quarter century team that ESPN put out yesterday.
How about that?
How well represented are the Patriots? Pretty well.
I would represented. Hope so. They had a dynasty during that period.
We'll get to Rob Bradford at 11:30. I want his understanding on Craig Breslow's answers about the AI interviews and whether or not he really denied anything.
No, he didn't.
In that 2-minute grill, or if he just kind of fanned the flames further. And coming up next, the Lakers just sold for $10 billion.
Good Lord.
Can the Celtics keep up with their new owner, Bill Chisholm? Can they keep up in the new NBA? We'll get to that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.